the Lord, help us to commence with hymn number 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
Oh, Let us read together in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. The Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he that which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and he gave me no drink. I was thirsty, and he gave me, for I was an hungered, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and he visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do look in mercy now as a company of poor needy sinners have been favoured to gather in thy earthly courts. And Lord, thou knowest how we've each gathered, the exercises of our souls, the burdens of our heart, the trials and tribulations of the way. But Lord, we pray that as we humbly trust thou hast gathered us this night, do come this evening and come and bless thy word. And may the hearing ear be given and the heart to understand. But Lord, we come as poor, unworthy sinners, in and of ourselves destitute of all that is good, wholly unable to do anything in and of ourselves which is acceptable to thee. For Lord, we are solemnly conscious that sin is mixed with all we do. And Lord, thou knowest how that defilement is known and felt in the hearts of thy dear people. But Lord, we would seek to be given now a spirit of real confession and true repentance. We pray for thy Holy Spirit's aid, for thou knowest we cannot approach thee in and of ourselves, only in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for thy Holy Spirit's enabling to pour out our hearts before thee this night, but faith may be found in exercise in our hearts, looking alone to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great sacrifice which he accomplished in Gethsemane and at Calvary, his precious blood that was shed there for sin and all uncleanness. Lord, we plead with thee now that thou wilt look upon us in thy divine compassion for Jesus' sake and what he has done. Lord, that is our only hope. For Lord, within us, that is within our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But Lord, that thou wilt come and meet with us in thine infinite mercy this night, and visit souls. For Lord, thou knowest each one that has gathered, and thou knowest how we've each gathered. But Lord, we pray that we each may be delivered from all intruding carnal worldly thoughts and cares, those things that have occupied our minds throughout the day. Lord, may there truly be a laying aside of those weights. Lord, that thou knowest we carry, Lord, only thou canst do it. And we pray that thou wilt enable us by faith to look to a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, and to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. Lord, thou knowest what we come seeking for. Lord, we seek that thou wilt grant to us this night, in the reading and in the preaching of the word, Lord, that thou wilt come and give the word. But oh, do grant to us a sweet and sacred glimpse of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend. For Lord, what are the things here below in comparison with that sight? Lord, we pray that we may be delivered from the vanity of this world, and oh, that our chief concern might be to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified for me. Lord, leave not any of us to come short or to be deceived. We have a deceitful heart. It's desperately wicked. And Lord, we would not be left to an empty form of worship. Lord, a form of godliness. Lord, we want divine realities. We want Thee to come and speak into our poor hearts. Say unto my soul, I am Thy salvation. Lord, we cannot be satisfied without it. Lord, eternity is before us each, and all the solemnity of it. Lord, we pray that it may be our great, our chief concern and continual exercise in our hearts to know that our souls are eternally safe in Christ, to know that life which Thou hast given is hid with Christ in God. Lord, leave not any here to be satisfied with an outward form. Lord, the time is short. We have so many reminders of it in the day in which we live. And Lord, we pray that, oh, to them Thy mighty power might be known in this little church and congregation as they meet together. And Lord, that that word might be an arresting power. Lord, that it may be a word of comfort, a word of assurance. But Lord, it's Thy work and it's Thy word. Oh, to accomplish Thy will here this night, and bless the souls of the people, that Thy name might be honoured and glorified. Lord, we pray for the dear young friends that have gathered and those not here this night. Remember them each in much mercy. Preserve them, Lord, and keep them as they stand on the threshold of life. Lord, we pray that if it could please Thee, that Thou wilt meet with them in their youthful days. Bring them to stop and consider the solemn reality of dying in their sins. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt quicken them into divine life. And oh, that they may be found humble seekers after Thee. Thou knowest those that are seeking Thee. Lord, those who are troubled and burdened, Lord, grant to them Thy upholding grace, and grant to them those desires which Thou hast put in their heart in Thy time and in Thy way. Lord, we pray for those older in life, those who have to do with the heat and burden of the day, remember them in much mercy. Strengthen them for the journey. Grant to them all-sufficient grace. Keep them from the enticements of the world. Leave them not to be ensnared. But Lord, we pray, oh, that Thou wilt grant to each one Thy upholding grace. And do bless them, and grant to them the desires of their hearts. And those of us, Lord, drawing near to the end of the journey, and for many of us here, it cannot be long. Lord, We pray that it may be our chief, our one concern, to know that our souls are eternally secure in Jesus Christ, and that we have a well-founded hope of reaching heaven at last. Lord, leave not any of us to be deceived or to come short. Thou knowest how many fears thy dear people have as they know the trials of the pathway, the enemy to their souls that continually comes with his evil suggestions. And Lord, thou knowest the sinfulness of our own wicked hearts. Lord, we pray for subduing grace. Hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not. And set a watch before our mouths, and keep the door of our lips. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt prepare us each for that great change which awaits us, as we have been reminded in the opening hymn. Oh, may none be left to be found a total stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that there may be those brought to know a precious Christ, even this night, if it is thy will, and that they may know those spiritual blessings which are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray for the little church here, and seek that thou wilt remember each member of it. Grant to them continually thy sustaining grace, and may they know personally that growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, this might be a spiritually prosperous church in this corner of thy vineyard, that souls may yet be blessed, brought to testify of thy love and mercy to them. Bless the labours of thy servants in this place. Lord, we pray that thou wilt use them and bless the word through them. And may there be those signs following the preaching of the word. Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. And oh, may it be our great, our chief concern, to know that we are amongst those favoured characters, with an expectation, when called from time to eternity, it will be well. Lord, do uphold thy tried and tempted ones, the fearing ones, those hidden ones of thine, those who feel to presume, often feel to be nothing, unworthy that thou shouldest regard them, guard them, and yet continue they must, come they must. Lord, we pray that those souls may in thy time taste of those rich blessings in Jesus Christ. We pray for the deacons and seek that thou remember them in much mercy. Sustain and uphold them as they carry those responsibilities that thou hast laid upon their shoulders. May they know continually thy upholding grace, strength sufficient unto the day. And may they be enabled each to lean hard upon a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. They may be enabled to trust him where they cannot trace him oftentimes. Lord, we commit them unto thee, and seek that thou wilt grant to them the desires of their own hearts concerning their own cases and conditions. Lord, we pray for Zion, thy one church. Lord, thou seest the solemn state in Zion, how low our churches are, and is there not a cause? Lord, is it not our sins? For they testify against us, and our backslidings are many. And thou art hiding thy face from us. Thy people know it and feel it and mourn over it. O Lord, bring us to thy footstool to plead for mercy. Lord, that thou wilt grant us true repentance, that there might be yet a turning again of Zion's captivity. There might be a lengthening of the cords, a strengthening of the stakes, and a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left. Lord, these are great things we ask. We're unworthy, but Lord, might it please thee yet, despite all our many sins, to appear in mercy. Lord, there may yet be souls brought out of bondage to sin, self, the world, and unbelief, and many, many fears, and brought into the glorious liberty of the gospel to testify of thy love and mercy, and whose they are, and whom they desire to serve. Lord, we pray for this guilty land and plead that thou wilt have mercy upon us. Lord, what can we say? Wickedness abounds. Evil and wickedness and depravity is so openly evident in the day in which we live. Oh, Lord, oh, may we take to heart thy solemn warnings which are upon us now, Lord, that it may bring us to thy feet in real confession. But Lord, that where we each may be found, if we're amongst that sacred remnant, sheltering under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness, watching and waiting for his appearing. Lord, we thank thee now for all thy mercies and favours and blessings. How many they are. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. True it is, Lord, it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. But, O Lord, may we feel and know that mercy in our souls experience this night, that we may be brought to bless thee and praise thee for what thou art and what thou hast done. And now we would fall unreservedly into thy hands. Our need is great, whether the hearer or the one that speaks. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come thyself and make thy presence known amongst us and bless the word. Do pardon now all our many, many sins, as we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel, for such there is room. O'erwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9, and the last two verses, verses 27 and 28 in the 9th chapter in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the Jews, and throughout this epistle he reminds of that great need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be found in him, as he seeks to speak to them of Christ throughout this whole epistle, as it is set forth in every chapter. The sacrifices of the ancient dispensation, they all set forth a precious Christ as the sacrifice for sin. And now, as he had set before them in this chapter of that great necessity to know the precious blood of Christ in the application of it to our sin-stained hearts and consciences. And he closes this chapter and reminds them there is a time to die, but after this, the judgment. It's not a subject which you often hear from, I suspect. But you know, our little lives here are swiftly passing. Our life is but a vapour. We shall all come to that place when we shall have to leave this world and enter into a never-ending eternity. And oh, the solemnity of it, of that word, where the tree falls, there it shall lie. It is appointed unto men once to die. It's certain, my dear friend, each one of us will be brought in that time that the Lord has appointed to take our last breath and enter into eternity. And oh, that great question, how will it be then with our souls? How will it be then? Do we have a good hope that it will be well? Or is it in doubt? Is it something which we've put away from us, not wish to consider, because we are young, perhaps, and we feel we have our lives before us? We cannot call one moment our own. Remember this God with whom we have to do. He it is that has given that life naturally, and indeed it is so spiritually, if we are the subjects of a work of grace. And he alone sustains that life. And we cannot assure ourselves of the next breath. Solemn thought, isn't it, my dear friend? And yet, how little we appreciate the solemnity of it. And yet it is a solemn truth. And it is that which the apostle here is reminding these Jews. It is appointed unto men once to die. You see, it's the solemn consequence of sin. Only when sin entered into the world, when Adam fell in Eden's garden, it was then that death entered into this world. God had told Adam that it would be so if he ate of the tree of good and evil. We know that he disobeyed God's command, and thereby through Adam, our federal head, all of us, there will be a time when he should be called to eternity. And so as we consider the solemnity of it, may it stir up an exercise in each one of our hearts to ask that question in the opening hymn, am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Vital questions. Oh, may we take them to heart, and may they search our hearts and stir up an exercise in them, that we may know and give diligence to make our calling and election sure. That does not mean there's anything on man's part, because the salvation of the Lord's people is assured. They're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they might one day be found holy and without blame before him in love. But the dear Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as their substitute, to stand in the room and place of each one of his dear people and bear the sin of his people, the punishment due to those sins which he passed through in Gethsemane and at Calvary, as God his Father poured out his wrath upon his beloved Son on account of the sins of his people, but that each one of his chosen people might go free eternally, to be raised up in time to a good hope through grace, and each one to know that they are saved with this great salvation wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane and at Calvary. Well, my dear friend, where do you stand? Where do I stand this night in the light of eternity? It is appointed unto man once to die, but also after that the judgment. That is the judgment day, when the whole of mankind will be arraigned before the judge of the whole earth. All who have lived upon in this world from Adam's day will all be there, and each one will have to give an account of all the things done in the flesh, whether good or evil. None can escape it. Everyone will be there. The Lord knows the hearts of each one, and ever has done. And how shall we give that account in that last great day? Solemn thought. Well, my dear friend, we cannot deceive God. He knows us through and through. And we have a conscience which will accuse us too in that last time. But my dear friend, if you and I are amongst the Lord's people, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, ere we leave this world, we shall know and have be found in possession of an experimental knowledge wrought in our heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, to be raised up to a hope in God's mercy, that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life that we might live eternally. Do we know it? Do we desire to know it? Is it our chief concern? Is it the burden of our heart? I believe it will be and is the burden of every one of the Lord's living family. They long to have a clear view of their interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that great work which he accomplished, and have that truth sealed in their heart by the Holy Spirit. For you see, those of the Lord's people who will hear that precious invitation, come in, that when in that last judgment day, and enter into the joy of their Lord, my dear friend, they will have a glorious song to sing, and that is to render praise and honour and glory unto God for what he is and what he has done for their never dying souls. And we shall never sing that song unless we know the truth expressed in it, in our soul's experience as we journey through this wilderness. And that subject of that song is this: unto him that loved me and gave himself for me. You see, only those who know it and have had it revealed to them in this world before they've died will ever be able to sing that glorious song. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knows everyone for whom he laid down his life. He knows everyone for whom he died. For those for whom he rose again, for their justification. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And just as before we move on, the time is short. We see the evidence around us of those things that the Lord Jesus Christ said would be evident in the last days. If we read carefully that preceding chapter to the one that we read, the 24th of Matthew, you'll find there that the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks of these last times. Oh, may the consideration of these things stir up an exercise in our hearts. But the word goes on. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And it's those for whom God set his love upon in eternity past, to whom he displayed the wonders of his grace. And how is it known? When a poor sinner is convinced of their sins, brought to see the solemnity of their spiritual condition, that there is a never-ending eternity before them, and to see from the very moment of their birth, they've sinned continually. And to see that we stand in great need of this great work of salvation made known to us, which the dear Lord Jesus Christ accomplished whilst here below. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You see, it is through that great transaction which he accomplished that his people were reconciled to a holy God, and God views his people perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life that they might live eternally and to know a work of grace in their heart here below. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now the question is this, isn't it? Were our sins laid upon the Lord Jesus? You know, it's that answer to that question all of the Lord's people are brought to seek after and reflect upon. You see how vitally essential it is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save our souls from hell and redeem them through the shedding of his blood, once offered to bear the sins of many. You know, the Lord's people, they are a number whom no man can number. The Lord has a people, a remnant, in every nation, tribe and tongue. And whilst this world continues, there will be those in it enabled to testify of God's love and mercy to their souls. For the very existence of this world, it'll continue until the last soul is called by grace, brought to know their need and to rest by faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their hope of salvation and their hope of reaching heaven at last. And then, when that last one is called, then will be the end. The angel, as we have it recorded in the Revelation, when that angel with one foot on the sea, another foot on the land, and he'll make that declaration, time will be no more, and that will be the end, and it'll be the call to the judgment. Well, you may not often, we don't often speak of these things. Perhaps we ought to speak of them more. Oh, the solemnity of being found out of Christ in that last great day. But there are those whom the Lord has chosen, brought out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. And there will be the evidence of this. It's unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And it is this exercise which is especially rested upon my spirit. Unto them that look for him in anticipation of the Lord coming. An expectation that it will be well with their souls. And that'll stir up an exercise in each of our hearts that we might have a clear view of our interest in the Lord Jesus and what he has done. My thoughts go to that word. I think it is in the second epistle of Peter, where we find this, as he speaks of the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be melted, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You see, there is that evidence that a child of God, as they're led through the wilderness here below, they're brought to that place through the many trials and the troubles and afflictions which the Lord sees fit to lay upon his people to fulfill his purposes of love and mercy toward them, using them to bring us to his feet, using them just to make us stop and consider where we are, where we are going, what we possess, what has been revealed to us. You know, that's the trials and troubles of the way. And the Lord brings us again and again there. He brings us away from the world and the vanities of it. And what a mercy that is. And how we continually need it. How easily our poor hearts are taken up with the world and the cares of it. And they crowd in, crowd out eternal realities. The concern of our never-dying soul and concerning eternity. The Lord brings us to these places. It is that thereby we may stop and consider and reflect, and to bring us to repentance, to bring us to the throne of grace, to confess our sins and plead with the Lord that he'd remember us still in mercy, unworthy though we are. Because you see, as these paths of the children of God walk in, what is taking place? It's loosening his people from their hold of the world and the things of it. It's the means that he uses in love and mercy to our souls. It is to bring us increasingly out of love with the world and the things of it. You see, we each have a carnal heart, don't we? And how easily we are drawn aside, taken up with the things of time and sense. And oh, how we find the solemn effect of it in our spiritual exercises. As we come into the Lord's house, there's a marked absence of that real exercise of hunger and thirst. As we come before the Lord in prayer, how dry and repetitive those desires are, all rightly sounding, gracious, but not with any real heartfelt desire for those things that we come seeking for. Solemn effect of the world. And so, my dear friend, the path of the Lord's people is continually to bring us away from these things. And sometimes we have to walk in deep paths, dark paths, that thereby that we may be loosened from it. But oh, to see our great need of a precious Christ, and that we might know more of him and have those spiritual desires after him, as the dear apostle had, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship in his sufferings, to be made conformable unto his death. That was the desire of that dear apostle. And how tried and tempted he was in the path that he walked in. It was in that same way the Lord was loosening him and preparing him for that eternal habitation which awaits each one of the Lord's living family. Is he preparing you, my dear friend? Is he preparing me? We shall know it as we get older. I know some of you younger ones may think, well, my life is before you. My dear friend, you cannot say that. Some die very young, some in middle age. Many others live to an older age. But we cannot call one mite our own and one moment our own. It is to found that exercise in our heart, to know our eternal standing, our spiritual standing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he has done, looking unto Jesus. Look, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is, when the Lord comes to take his dear people home to himself, then it will they'll know that if they parted with all things here below, they enter into that glorious inheritance of the saints in light. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again upon this earth. You know, it's not a subject we often hear spoken of, is it? But you know, if you read through the two epistles to the Thessalonians, you'll find there that the dear apostle dwelt in every chapter upon the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He spoke of it and referred to it many times in those epistles, for he speaks of it. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that chapter closes with this little verse, wherefore comfort one another with these things. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, we read that chapter together in Matthew, which I suggest is familiar with us each, and that well-known parable of the wise and foolish virgin. And we find there, and it's a solemn thought, there were many similarities between those wise virgins and those foolish virgins. They were all virgins. They all made a profession of religion. They all possessed a faith. And they all possessed an expectation that when the bridegroom should come, they would all be gathered in together into the marriage supper. But there was a distinction between the two. For we find when the Lord Jesus Christ came, only the five wise virgins entered into the supper. The others were found wanting. And what was it that they were wanting? We find they had no oil in their vessels. That was the difference. In every other aspect, they seem to be the same. And I suggest that those wise virgins never ever suspected that the foolish virgins were any different until that time came. The wise virgins possessed grace. The foolish virgins found there was a marked absence of it in their profession. And so, when brought to realise that the Lord was coming to take them into the marriage supper, they looked and sought to see how their profession was, and it was wanting. We read they went to see if they could buy oil for their lamps. My dear friend, it was too late then. They had a form of religion. They had a form of profession. They had a faith, the foolish virgins had, which they had convinced themselves that was a sound faith, that it was a God-given faith, that when called, they would enter into the marriage supper. But they were deceived. They knew nothing of a work of grace in their heart. They knew nothing of their great need of this salvation. It was but an empty profession. And oh, how searching this lesson is, which the Lord Jesus Christ set before his disciples. It wasn't to the general multitude. It was to his disciples, those who were following him. My dear friend, what a lesson that is. Oh, may it stir up an exercise in our heart to know that we have a well-founded hope wrought in the heart by the dear Holy Spirit, that we are amongst the Lord's people, that we possess a good hope through grace, which is founded alone upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. None other, who said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that preparation work was accomplished by the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane and at Calvary. And when he laid down his life on the cross and uttered those words, it is finished. Salvation's work was complete. The security of his dear people assured. Each one for whom he died will one day be brought safely home to glory at last. It's those who are led and taught by the Holy Spirit whilst here below, brought to know their sinnership, brought to the footstool of mercy, to repent and confess their sins before a holy, holy God, acknowledging his justice if they were to be cast off forever, and yet to plead for mercy, to plead in faith the precious name, the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus for their acceptance. The only way that mercy comes to his dear people is in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one in time brought, raised up to a hope in God's mercy by the dear Lord testifying in their own souls that it was for them he died and for them he rose again, and is now entered into heaven, and is at the Father's right hand, pleading the merits of his sacrifice, the efficacy of his blood, for the acceptance of his dear people. he ever lives to make intercession for his people. And each one he will bring safely home to glory at last. Well, shall we be amongst them? Will you? Will I? Can we continue without that question being answered? My dear friend, it'll only be those who will give that gracious answer whom the Lord works in their heart and quickens them into divine life. And the dear Holy Spirit leads them out of self, all hope in self, and leads to them the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought to rest by faith in what he is and what he has done, believing that they have an expectation. And so it is, as these characters in the text, unto them that look for him. Oh, are you looking, my dear friend? Is there an anticipation in your poor heart when the Lord will come? It makes us tremble sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes we feel so unready, so unprepared. Oh, so many of our poor hearts are full of fears and doubts. But where does it bring you, my dear friend, and me? It brings us to the throne of grace, to wrestle with the Lord for another token, another seal, another word from himself. That when he came into this world, he died that we might live eternally. Well, I'll leave the word with you. Oh, may it abide with us. May the dear Lord, by through the work of the Holy Spirit, be able to search our own hearts, that we might have an answer to that question. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this night, and that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our heart, and seal it there by the dear Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part. Be with us each through the remainder of our little lives here below, and prepare us for that great change which awaits us each. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.